Shenanigans, truth, lies. Shenanigans.
Welcome to the Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast. My co-hosts today are the lovely Gianni Storm and Rob B.
Hey,
what's up, everybody?
Before we get into this discussion on immigration, I want to ask, are there any immigrants in your circle of friends and family?
Oh, I love immigrants. I do have immigrants who came from...
She just has them in her pocket somewhere. I got me some immigrants just, right here. You want some immigrants?
Hanging by.
I gave you some immigrants.
You guys are too much. They came from like the Middle East. I know one of them was from Pakistan. Another was from Venezuela. And another was from Brazil. I feel like immigrants taught me so much. Not even just about their culture and stuff like that, but just as like me being a young woman at that time, seeing it from different cultures' perspectives was very, very life altering in a good way. Yeah.
The different cultures treat women differently. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my current circle, I'm lucky to have people of different ethnic origins and who are new immigrants, who are maybe first generation Canadians. So their experience is absolutely different. Yeah. One of the more impactful ones that I experienced was in the 90s, during the Croatian-Serbian War. I was working a job and Aco Miligrad was his name. He was part of a work program where he was paired up with a Canadian so that he could learn the language. I remember Aco inviting me to his home, introducing me to his wife and children, having traditional meals. That was very impactful for me. It made me really appreciate what I have in North America.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, my father is an immigrant from Ethiopia. So,
yeah,
that's a huge impact on my life. yeah. You know, and when he came over.
Go on.
One of the funny things when he came over was he said he was really confused by the racism in America. Because, you know, yeah, they saw color in Ethiopia at the time, but nobody was treated differently because of it.
There was no colorism in Ethiopia?
No racism specifically. So, yeah, you were a black person and a white person and things like that, but you weren't treated differently because of your color. You might have been treated differently because your economic status. You might have been treated differently because of, you know, maybe what you have. But it wasn't really, it wasn't really about how you look, right? It wasn't about the fact that you were black versus white. But when he came here, that was a huge thing. And it just confused him, like, why he was treated so differently because he had darker skin and why he was treated so negatively. Yeah, but as far as impact on my life, obviously a huge impact. He's taught me a lot, and I learned a lot about, like you said, the culture, Gianni, which was very different. Very different.
And actually, another point, too, is during my academic career in university, a great majority of my university professors came from different countries. So they absolutely shaped my learning abilities. They taught me some amazing world concepts.
Tolerance, probably. Yep. Yeah.
I love immigrants.
Yeah. So immigration is very valuable. It's been valuable in my life. So we've been talking about this border crisis for decades now on our southern border in the U.S. You know, we've had Obama, Trump, Biden. Nobody's been able to get it under control. People are just coming to the border, coming through. And it's been happening long before them. Now, we've seen hardline stances, people getting thrown in jail, mass deportations, busing migrants to other states, and even worse, where people are dying. But none of it works. And I get it. When you're talking about the border states, a sudden influx of people can definitely put a strain on local resources. So I understand what people are complaining about. But I've been thinking about this. And in the long run, having a large number of migrants coming through, coming into the country, is actually a good thing for our border cities. And heck, for our country. I mean, think about California, Houston, Phoenix. 8 of the 10 largest U.S. cities are border state cities full of migrants. And if you count New York, it's 9 out of 10 of our largest cities because of immigration. And those cities are not struggling. They're thriving. Right. So I say this border crisis is not a crisis at all. It's a gift that we simply need to manage better. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
I had to look into it a little bit, Neo, because as a Canadian, our southern border, I don't want mass immigration coming up
on
us. Right.
So you're trying to say you don't want us coming up there, Robbie? I'm coming. I'm coming, Rob.
I told him I'm coming.
Going across the river.
Shoot.
Those are some big lakes, son. Big lakes.
I'm swimming.
No.
But like you, Neo, I definitely appreciate the cultural diversity that it brings. And I mean, if we keep talking about fundamental American values, bubble on a melting pot, you know, so it is part of the country's fabric. So when the purists are crying foul, it's, you know, the messaging was diverse then, it should be diverse today. It does allow for some economic growth, innovation, entrepreneurship. You get to replenish your workforce. I think that some of the migrant situations get exploited when we're talking about workforce. Sure. It's good for cultural exchange and understanding. Those are some very good things, but to a certain point, because every city has only so much resources available to its constituents. So the strain on resources, I absolutely understand. Pressures on the job market when you can hire someone for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And if I've lost my livelihood because you can hire three people or pennies on the dollar, then there's definitely going to be some cultural tensions that develop. There's a burden on the social welfare state because these people need help, a lot of help when they're hospitals. On their way through. The problem is you already have within your population people who need a lot of help. So people from the state or cities can absolutely feel slighted and slightly abandoned because of that fact, where it's like, hey, our own are hurting. Why are we bringing them in? So I can understand the mental gymnastics that happen to make that argument, right?
Sure.
I think that a lot of the issues are absolutely blown up for political purposes. And it's a shame because at the end of the day, these aren't just commodities. These are real people who are trying to get out of bad situations back home where there may be a lack of opportunity. They may be persecuted. They may have stood up to the wrong criminal or legal element, right? And then to come here, US, Canada, these are lands of opportunity. They really are. So I don't know that the burden needs to be on the border cities themselves, displacing people, busing them, not like Abbott did. Okay, so we're getting you on a bus and off to Chicago. No, help settle them for some time and then say, okay, so this is going to be your new host city. We're moving you here. Yep. There are accommodations, there are supports in those cities.
I think we should just send them all to Canada. I mean, come on.
Except you can't make that political decision for us, and we take our chair.
Luckily, Theo is not the president.
This is why I want to keep that border clean. I want to keep that border
clean. We're going to bust into Canada. It's easy to cross the border into Canada, so let's get him up there.
We're going to a Leafs game and never leaving.
The cold would be a shock.
Yeah,
so I'm for a lot of them, then. Especially from people coming from Mexico and stuff like that. This is a loaded question because it's such a complicated scenario. I don't think people don't want others to come into our country. I think because of how we're handling it, the government is super messy. It's embarrassing. It just looks really bad. But I agree with you guys. I think that most migrants take on skilled jobs like construction, stuff with their hands. They're not really taking what Americans, like, they're not going to take my Carnival sales job. Like, they're not going to take Neo's or Rob's.
What?
I mean, they might.
They're
but
not going to take
they
the call
speak Spanish.
Job? Are you kidding?
I think that if there was a Mexican or if there was a Polish or if there was a whatever kind of migrant that came into the United States, if they had sales experience where they came from, yes, but most of the time these are people coming from like a dictatorship and they were usually construction workers, or I could be like generalizing, but I feel like a part of it is this is a cash grab. Speaking specifically for the immigrants that go to New York and are placed in housing in like the old hotels and stuff like that, where the government is paying those hotel owners double what it would stand to be in that hotel. So I think that it's just like a cash grab for the government. And I think that it is also purposely messy.
How is it a cash grab for the government if they're putting them up
not the government. In
private establishments, and the private establishments are then gouging? It almost sounds like an insurance job type thing where, hey, the government's paying, I'm going to charge this rate now. I think that's unethical business practices, and the government should be able to rein them in and go, hey, this is what, these are your rates. Putting the barrel.
Yeah, I spoke wrong. I didn't mean to say the cash grab on the government. Okay. I meant to say on big business. Yeah, it's a cash grab for them is what I meant to say, because they are getting a lot of money. So I feel like immigration overall is a good thing, but how we're handling it is very bad and very messy. People are dying. Human lives are like wasting away. And usually these people just want to get away from some kind of evil dictator. So it's not even like they have malice.
Or violent situations or they're destitute in some way and just trying to find the American dream, right? I think...
doesn't exist.
You know, the biggest problems that people complain about in these border states of why they shouldn't be coming is, of course, jobs was the big one that you guys have mentioned. Then there's resources. So hospitals, policing, fire department, it all puts a strain on it. So the more people you bring in, if you don't have the infrastructure for it, it becomes a problem, especially with the number of people coming in at any given time. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of people a day coming at your border. And shoot, there's not even tens of thousands of people in some of those cities. So now all of a sudden you have one community hospital dealing with 10,000 migrants, right?
Yeah.
That's difficult to manage, and it's hard. But in the long run, those migrants that come over, they'll find a way to survive. They'll find a way to fit in. They'll find a way to contribute, especially if we allow them to. Or if the United States, instead of spending all this money and effort into kicking them out and putting up walls, working on developing the infrastructure down there, then I could see huge, major financial benefits in the long run, especially once we get them paying taxes, they become citizens, they start contributing positively to the economy. Because then, as Robbie said, in terms of building infrastructure and jobs, now we have people we can pay pennies on the dollar to build that infrastructure, right? If we utilize them in the right way, if we say, hey, sure, we'll let you in, you have to do some type of work. Something, I don't know. I'm thinking work release. I don't know why that's coming to my head.
It sounds like a workfare program.
but some type of exchange where, hey, we can get you a job and training, and these are the jobs that we have available for you, and these are the things that we need to build up this community so that you all can live in it. We need some firefighters. We're going to train you how to be firefighters. We need some, we need some hospital people. We can teach you how to triage, we bring in more doctors. I just think if we were to do it better, like Gianni was basically saying, then it would be a huge gift to our country, to those border states. And Republicans are dumb because one of the key problems, because of sprawl and the Electoral College, they win elections. But there's a reason they usually lose the popular vote. They don't have numbers. But if they were to increase the actual popular vote in their favor by indoctrinating these migrants to the way they think, which they could do. Which
that's true. They have to stump. They have to stump some of the migrants.
They can indoctrinate the migrants as they come in to their side. Then they have a ton more Republicans in their pocket. Smart. They're stupid. Because I know I'd be indoctrinating them.
They already agree with it because I can't say every culture agrees with not having abortion, but some of their customs, they don't believe in abortion. They just recently started doing like
a lot of them are Christian and Catholic.
Yep.
Right. They would be perfect.
They would fit along.
Yeah. They'd be perfect. And then, now you have a lot more Republican voters. I mean, I'm just saying, I hope they don't do it, but
I hope that
they're
does not
stupid
happen.
For not doing it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you improve your workforce, you get younger people. Right. Because now you have younger people that can work. We have an aging population, especially in many of those states. I just think overall, it would be a huge benefit into changing the way we look at this crisis.
Do you guys think that even Rob in Canada, say a slew of Americans came to Canada or a slew of Americans went to France, do you think that the same here, it would change the dynamic of that culture? Because Americans, even though we don't have one distinct like culture and religion and all of
you
that.
You make a good point. The sudden influx of a specific culture in a specific area would definitely impact the overall culture of a country, especially smaller countries. But I think the United States has proven that it can absorb various cultures.
Canada is a melting pot culturally. There's a Canadian identity, but culturally, right. we are a land of immigrants. We're very much like you, but I think that there's a higher, I don't know, it's higher tolerance for it, but that seems to be waning in some markets, though. I mean, it's tenuous at best. It keeps moving. But yeah, no, like we're just a hodgepodge of the world. And I think that that's amazing. I think that that's a beautiful thing. But, you know, part of it that you have to really take into consideration that the Canadian identity holds our values. And if you are leaving a bad situation and you have certain beliefs, but you're coming to a different nation, a different host nation, you can hold on to your identity, but don't think that the values you've left behind are then going to be mirrored in this society because you have left your home ground. And if you left home base, there are things that you liked and there are things that you hated that forced you to move. But you have to really be ready to embrace a new way of life, as shocking as that might be.
So assimilate.
Right. Good point. Yeah. So migrants should have that kind of, not discernment, but...
There's absolutely some discernment, because I think it was Denmark who had thrown together a promotional video for immigrants. And they said, hey, you know, these are the things that we enjoy as a culture. You know, women have equal rights. Women have the right to be nude in public. These are freedoms that we have and that we express, or just topless.
So, oh, okay. I was like, wait, like, yeah, public indecency.
Let's be clear. But, you know,
love you.
And for an immigrant to watch that and to kind of go, okay, to be able to make that discernment, to be able to make that call, is this really the right place for me? Okay, maybe I should look at other options. But if you know, if you're out of options, then you kind of have to go, okay, when in Rome.
That's a good point. Okay. Immigration is going to always be, I feel like, a topic of a lot of people's minds because it's a huge, huge, it's not even just a crisis. They keep using that word crisis. It really is just, you guys don't know how to get it together.
Yeah. So my last question before we close everything out, there are a lot of people coming in it is putting a strain on the resources down there. How would you resolve the problem? I mean, what would be some solutions that you could think of?
I would send people to where they are at. I mean, this is what I would do. I would send trade. Honestly, think about it. So if we send like somebody like a Neo and somebody who is a...
Send?
Yeah. Like Neo, it's a good idea to go to Mexico and build up. No, well, maybe like try to trade off, like try to make it good for you. Oh, and the reason I say that, I know it sounds silly, but it's not like an eye for an eye. Yeah. Like let's help each other. Why does all of, I'm not going to use a specific because I don't want to be racist, but why does all of these people have to come here? And then Americans are just like, you know what I mean? Where are we going to go? Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I mean, if you're trading different skill sets, one country to another, that's great. But the problem is that they're migrating. A government doesn't have control over what they're doing. Like, you don't have control if I want to go to France or Canada. Or the United States can't control where I choose to go. This is like those countries can't really choose.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're not slaves. I mean,
forcing.
We're not all slaves.
We're all mental slaves.
There are slaves out there. There are a lot of mental slaves. There's a lot of those. But I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I get what you're trying to say. So I don't know if theoretically it works, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't have the social engineering, political know-how to really come up with a solution. But I think I alluded to something earlier where if the border cities, the border states themselves have proper intake centers. And like you said, Neo, if we were to do redistribution, if we're no longer trying to throwing money at the wall and that type of infrastructure. If we're building up infrastructure to help process people, to help welcome them to the host nations where they can have the healthcare that they need, to make sure that they're not bringing any foreign pathogens into your nation. But once you're past the intake, I think that it's a national problem. And unfortunately, the other states have said, well, it's your problem. No, if you're willing to have a national discourse about it, it's a national issue. If you can redistribute the excess population or the immigrant population, if you can now redistribute this nationally, when I say nationally, Alaska is part of the solution. You know what I mean? It's all of the United States.
Okay.
Infrastructure there. They can,
that's, you know, a good point.
Help build infrastructure.
Yep. It's not so much trading off where the Americans going to go when we bring in the immigrants, Johnny. It's how do we distribute things evenly so that the nation bears the brunt of the responsibility and the financial hardship collectively? Because as we bring these migrants in, we don't know what skill sets they're bringing in. We keep talking about skilled laborers, but they could be professionals who are leaving because of political persecution, you know, for whatever reason, that you can be motivated to move and go underground and just disappear. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
So we never know what we're actually bringing in. And cultural diversity is always a wonderful thing. Learning about other countries and societies, I think it enriches us all.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Rob. I think it's a national problem. It's funny, when Abbott and DeSantis were busing people to the vice president's front door here in the DC area, I'm thinking that's a great thing, actually, because I thought it was a good thing to spread the wealth. Because again, I see it as a gift. I think migrants coming in is a gift to America that we're not seeing. Right.
Using
and
properly.
So when you're sending migrants to
use the gift, honey, you don't.
I'm making it seem like there are slaves. I keep making it seem like that, but it's not the case. I don't think that way.
That's why I think of it as a gift, because, you know, we're getting people power, whether it's knowledge, information. You know, if we put them in our schools, then we have better workforce. I've grew up in a very diverse school in the DC area where we had a lot of immigrants and migrants and a diverse population. And, you know, that brought value. That brought value to the school, brought value to me, brought value to the area. And I think it's a gift.
And one thing I wanted to bring up also, when I was looking up some talking points for this, I came across an old map of Mexico and U.S. And there was a war, U.S.-Mexico war. And like, if you look at the landmass that Mexico lost, Johnny, and the people that were displaced, it's a lot. So it absolutely explains the steady stream of people who are coming back to the motherland, because almost a solid quarter, a third of the U.S. was Mexico.
A lot of it.
Yep.
I'm so confused. So New Mexico is Mexico.
Mexico was a huge part, and it's been pushed back dramatically, Johnny. So, like I was saying,
it's their homeland.
Some of the migration.
It's their house. It's their home.
Yep.
We colonized. Well, we didn't colonize that area.
We didn't.
We specifically.
Our ancestors were brought here in chains, so
we immigrated in different ways. Our ancestors immigrated in different
ways.
Yeah.
We're immigrants, just forced immigrants. Pretty much what you were describing, Gianni. We're just going to send them over there. We're gonna send some people, and they're gonna send us some people.
It sounded so bad, but you know,
we're gonna trade people.
But it makes sense. Like if you, for example, if Neo always wanted to go to Venezuela, and Neo, he's a good person in our society. He benefits our society very much. If him and his family or him and his buddies go to Venezuela, and we take on. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like the trade-off?
I where understand it can kind of what you're trying to say. That you're it's trading off skill idea. Sets, right? But but the problem is you'd have to be able to, you know, make them go.
Oh, force.
Yeah.
Just entice them. Make it sound good.
If you have someone that's leaving a bad situation, how do you entice someone else to step into that
bad situation?
Oh, I didn't
How do you entice that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Enforcing someone's
good point. Norm. Good point. Good point. Okay.
All right.
I have to develop it.
So I'm saying this border crisis is not a crisis at all. It's a gift. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
I'm going to say shenanigans. I'm going to be on the fence.
You're on the fence. Okay.
I'm with Johnny because there's unfortunately a political element to really implementing this properly that has been missed, and a lot of people suffer because of it. So I'm going to call shenanigans on it because I see both sides.
That's fair. I'm hoping I at least change your mind to shenanigans, but I'm sticking with truth that this is a gift that we are just not taking advantage of, that we are not doing the right way. We're just treating it as a problem when it's really not. That's my take. All right. Well, thank you both for this fantastic discussion. I appreciate it because it's really bothering me. So it kind of helped me talk through some of my thoughts. So thank you very much. Well, that's it for this episode of Truth, Lies, Shenanigans, talking about immigration and migration and whether or not it's a good thing. Before you head out, make sure you hit that subscribe button or follow button so that you don't miss our next episodes. And feel free to go back and listen to some of our recent episodes. We definitely changed this season up to make it more bingeable. As always, I got to thank Gianni, Robbie, and you for listening to our shenanigans each week. We'll see you next time.